Scott.
Dave talked the first 2 weeks, and some of the things he was looking at, you know, he was just trying to portray to us that God is an awesome God. The God we serve is awesome. And he went through and described some of the attributes of God. You know, we can't know fully about God. We can't know everything, but God does reveal in his word some things about himself. And we looked at, you know, God is holy. God is eternal. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is just and fair. And we looked at these things. And even though he is all-powerful and he's eternal and he's holy, he still wants a relationship with us. He truly desires to have a relationship with us. And Dave asked the question again. He asked the question, what is being a New Testament Christian all about? What's it all about? And it boils down to, it's all about having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who came to be our Savior, who's a perfect sacrifice for us. That's what being a New Testament Christian is all about. Last week, I kind of took over. We looked at chapter 2 of the book, and it seemed to me like he was asking this question. So, what is the point, the one point of our lives? What is it? It's to love God and serve God and glorify God. That's the point of our lives. And he comes about, you know, answering this in three different ways that we looked at last week. The first way we talked about was that the point of our lives is to glorify God because our lives are temporary, right? It's like the coach from Schaefer. You know, our lives we're just here for a short time. They're a vapor. We watched the little video clip. I would brought up the verse in James, you know, our lives are a vapor. And do we really believe that enough to where we live our lives like that? We glorify God because it's not about you. It's not about you or you or you. It's not about us. It's all about God. Everything is God's. And that's what it's all about. It's not about us. So we glorify God. Life, the whole time since everything's been created as a movie, you know, and God's the main character, and God's had the role throughout the entire, throughout all time. And we're just this little blip on the screen, you know. We're just the extra. We're not the main character. We're just the little person that's there for the half a second, you know. And you know, people, we get the idea sometimes that it's all about us. You know, we live that way sometimes, but it's not. It's all about God. Third thing we looked at last week. We glorify God so that you'll be ready to meet Him. You never know when that time's going to come. And last week we looked at two different examples of that He brings out in the book of people that, you know, seem like they were ready to meet Him. So we need to ask ourselves, are we ready for that time? And Ricky Perry was here last week. He's the president of Good Pasture. He made a really good comment too. You know, he said, we glorify God, not necessarily because God needs it. So God was fine when He created the world. God will be fine, you know, God's fine. It's not that He needs our worship. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to glorify Him. But we also glorify Him, He said, He brought out, because we need that. We need that as humans. We need to look up to God. Glorify God. And I just really appreciate that point because it's very true. So the point of your life is to point to God. And that's what we kind of looked at last week, is to glorify and serve God. How are we doing here? Is this study, are you guys okay with the study so far? Are you able to get anything out of it so far? We're kind of on board with where we are, where we're going. Yeah, I hope so. Y'all ready to add more? Okay, turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Actually, we're going to back up a little bit in chapter 3 and start in verse 28, and then we'll kind of overlap into 4 in your Bible.
3, starting at verse 28. Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is the master of all. Hey, Mike, come on in. But he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. This is getting to the point where I really want to discuss this morning and look at this morning. But in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might have the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
What I want to look at this morning, and some of the things that we're trying to bring out, that we want to look at, is the relationship. This relationship that we can have with God. We are adopted. If you are in Christ, you are an adopted son or daughter of God. And as sons and daughters, we have part in the inheritance. You are an heir, it says. And not only that, but there is the opportunity for us to have such a relationship with God that we can call him Abba, Father. Abba, Father. If you look up Abba is the Aramaic word for father. But more than that, it's describing a close, tight-knit, an intimate relationship. It's not just you calling him father. It's describing a close, intimate relationship with God. And if we're heirs, we have the inheritance. If we're in Christ, we have the opportunity to have that relationship with the God of the universe. The God who created everything. You know, the all-powerful, the eternal, the holy, the perfect God. We can have a relationship with him in that we can call him Abba, Father. Be that close. Is that crazy? Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. I'm a father now. Not very long. But in becoming a father, you know, there are some things that you think about and realize that you've never thought about or you could never realize without being there. I'm brand new at it. And it's, you know, I'm sure there's a whole lot more to learn. But I'm thankful for the things that I've been able to learn up to this point. One of my favorite times of the day, I'll just tell you this, is when I come home from work. When I pull the van into the driveway, you know, and I'm getting some things situated, getting some stuff out of the van, and I hear a tap on the window. And I look up, and Mama, Samantha, and Xander are standing at the window, and Xander's like, he's just waving at me. Ah, you know, you can see him, dad. And it's just awesome. You know, and then I come inside, and Xander, before he was crawling up, you know, he'd crawl up to the gate. You know, we had the gates on the stairs, you know, he'd crawl up to the gate. You know, he's just happy to see me, and it's just getting that. Of course, I'm happy to see him too. You know, that's become one of my favorite times of the day. Just coming home and, you know, having, now he's like, he's saying dad, and it's like, it doesn't get better than that. You know, he recognizes who I am. He says, Mama, you know, Mama, he'll go on. He knows, and it's just awesome to have that relationship. And, you know, I'm finding that I want that. You know, I want him to recognize me. I want him to recognize me as his father. And not only that, but I want him to want to come to me.
He's a small child, and though he can't talk very much, all he can say is my, and dad, dad. He can communicate really effectively, despite his lack of vocabulary. If he doesn't want something, he'll let you know. If you put something in his mouth he doesn't like, he'll spit it out. He'll tell you, I don't like this food. It's coming right back out. You know, he can communicate, even though he doesn't have a big vocabulary. And he, you know, just the fact that he is coming up to me and he wants my attention, you know, he's communicating that he loves me, even though he doesn't understand love, you know, but he wants me. He definitely wants mama, too. There's no nobody that's closer to him than his mama, which is good. I think God designed it that way. But there's nothing that compares to being wanted by your children. If you have children, I know you can understand that. I also have children here. So you know, when you love your child so much and you see the child's desire to love you, it can open your eyes to the relationship that we have, that we could have with God, more than I've ever realized it before. And how much I love Xander, and my desire for Xander to love me back is just a faint whisper, a faint echo of how God, Abba Father, wants us to have a relationship with Him. Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 says, if you then, though you are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, will your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask of Him? You know, if we love our children that much and we know how to provide and give thanks for our children, how much more will God be able to provide for us? So keep those things in mind. Let's keep those things that I've just said in mind. And let's look at this. Raise your hand in here if you were taught as a child, or, you know, you were raised in the church and you were always told, you know, you need to set aside a time of the day. Set aside some time to study God's Word. Set aside some time. It's important to set aside time every day to do that. How many of you heard that before? Of course, you know, if you've been raised, of course, we've all heard that. It's important to do that. And it is. It is very important to do that. And so we try to do that. You know, sometimes we might put it in our schedule. Okay, you know, this is my time. Or, you know, we might already just have it in our minds. Okay, this is my time of the day to do that. And a few weeks ago, if you were in class a few weeks ago, again, I opened up to you and we just kind of discussed a few things. And I told you that's one of the things that I have struggled with. You know, I don't set aside that time to do that. And I don't have that hunger and thirst. And I feel like things are changing, but it's a process. You know, I don't have that hunger and thirst for really getting in there and studying the Word because I love to do so. You know, mine right now is more driven by guilt than anything. You know, have y'all ever felt that? You're trying to set aside time. You're like, okay, I'm going to study during this time of the day. And if you end up not studying, how do you feel? Guilty. They've been doing that for a long time. Y'all have had that,
yeah,
that family study, and that's awesome. It's very important. And
but
so,
I do feel the guilt.
Yeah, and sometimes,
you know,
I don't think that's uncommon. I think that's a lot of us. You know, if we say we're going to do it at this time, we set the time aside, we don't do it, I think it's a lot of us can relate to that. You know, we feel guilty for not doing that. But I think what we need to realize is that
when we love God, when we have a close relationship with God, if you do have that type of relationship with God, and that Abba, that God is your Father, the intimate relationship, and you love God, then the response of that is going to be you want to study out of your love for God. You want, you know, you're going to go to Him fervently and earnestly and zealously and frequently to study and to learn. You know, that would be your response if you, you know, if we truly have this close, intimate relationship with God, as opposed to it being like, you know, something we do just because we feel guilty if we don't, you know.
Because a lot of times the guilty stage precedes the lying stage. Because you have to get to know Him before you realize how much you need Him.
Yeah.
And you have to get to know Him by spending the time. So it might start off as, it's just like any couple. When you start dating someone, if you guys break up early on, you can probably get along just fine. But the more you get to know Him and rely on Him, that's when, like, if I had to go, you know, a few months without Blake, I'd be devastated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I've taken the time. But just be patient. You might have to get through that stage of, see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And thank you for bringing that out. I think I would have almost missed that, but I really appreciate you bringing that out. Don, actually, a few weeks ago when I was opening up to you guys and I was saying that about myself, you know, I was asking, is there anybody that has time, you know, that really opens, that they study? And Don actually said, you know, hey, that's become one of my favorite times of the day. You know, that's, the kids will come in and want to study with her, Abby and Jack. They'll want to come in and study with her. But, you know, she has to tell them, I love to study with you guys, but right now it's time for me to study. And, you know, and it seemed like that was just a time that she loved. You know, that, and I really appreciate. But it sounded like it started, like you're saying, as I need to do this. I need to set the time aside, you know, and actually get to know God. You know, get used to having the time, and that's true, and I think a lot of times that's how we need to start. But the more you do that, I think it just, you start developing that relationship.
It changes
more from guilt to a response out of love, something you do. Not, and I'm not saying this out of experience, I'm just saying what it could be. No. So, thank you. Sean?
I don't study the Bible other than have to teach class all the time, so I guess. But I think the point you want to get to is, like, me working out, I get up in the morning and work out, and I have a lot of people ask me, like, well, how do you do that, and why do you do that? You know, that's good on your sleep. And if I could have that desire that I have for working out for reading the Bible, I could see it, because, like, if I miss a workout, it bothers me, not because I feel guilty now, but because I missed another day that I can go somewhere I enjoy. And that time is a time, it's not like, I don't know how to describe it, it's just a time that I enjoy. And but on the flip side of that, what happens so often is, you're saying, did you get it, you miss a couple. And I had like 4 and 9, and I had to miss like 4. And now I've noticed since that time that I took that 4-day break, all of a sudden, like yesterday, I was like, oh, I just don't want to do it. And so, really, you get to this, and you want to do it so bad, and then you miss one, it's easier to miss and miss. And so that's really a hard struggle when you're trying to set aside. But then, on the flip side, I think how pathetic, and I'm speaking for myself, is that I can't take time to study the Word. And I think the hardest thing for a person is that if I go hang out with you, I see you, and I talk to you, and I... physical, and the hardest thing for a person is that you don't see God. And so sitting down and reading is hard to sit down. And so that, a lot of people give up because they start out, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. How many times I've said that, and I get to like Genesis chapter 5, I'm like, man. just because, you know, you're caught up in so much in your life. And so, I think Sarah's right. You have to get to where you long for. And it's hard to get to that point. And a lot of people don't make it that far because you have to go through that stage. And a lot of us, we're like, it's with anything in our lives. We're not seeing any kind of progress. We're like, well, I don't feel like I'm really wanting to do this, and we give up. And so just, you know, and that's a hard thing. And it's sad that we say that, but it's hard. And the thing is, we don't see God. You know, I mean, you just don't sit down, and he's sitting right next to you, talking to you. You know?
That's and that's what we want to develop, is that relationship. And the good thing is that Christ came and lived as a human. You know, he knows, he's been through everything that we have been through. Yet without sin, you know, Christ, thank God for grace. Because, I mean, how much is grace going to cover? Well, we don't know. I mean, that's fully up to God. You know, if you don't have that relationship with God where you're longing for him, you're striving to have that relationship, and you're studying out of love instead of out of guilt, you know, then it seems like you have the relationship. You know, God's going to extend grace to you. If you don't have that relationship, how far will grace cover? You know, that's up to God. But we need to strive for that relationship. You know.
There's another quote too that I read in a book one time that said, "The longer I go without God, the drier and emptier and more frustrated I become." And I find that, like, if I'm getting really irritable, or my patience level is low, or I'm just, you know, I'll stop and say, how long has it been since I talked to God? A lot of times it's been times that I've been going, you know, and you find that your mood and your demeanor changes, and it's because we're not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting other people or other things to satisfy us in the way that he's meant to. You only get that satisfaction by spending time with him.
Yeah.
And you'll, so I'm just saying, you'll see it when you get frustrated or,
you know. Thanks for bringing that up, too. Yeah. And I think that's the whole point of this class. That's the whole point, for us to continue to develop our relationship with God and to come closer to God.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
I don't think we should feel guilty if we, for whatever reason, don't have time. And I know that's a hard thing to do because everybody has different lives. It could be children, work, whatever it is. But just like you want to provide for your family and you want to be able to have a home and have dinner and things like that, I think that's really what it is. It's that you should have that want for it, you know, and not feel guilty about it if for whatever reason on a daily basis or whatever you don't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
But just to know that you want it and that he's there at any time that you have, be it day or night, middle of the afternoon, after dinner, before bed, and to be able to have it then.
Yeah, and having that relationship still that you know he's always there.
But not to inside of you feel guilty about it, because God doesn't want you to feel guilty. He knows that you love him.
Yeah. And I think the closer the relationship that you have with God, then if you don't, because of circumstances of the day, and you end up not having time, if you have a close relationship with God, it would be easier, I think, to not feel guilty. You know, but I think the more separated you are from God, you're just doing, you know, that I think that you might have more of a tendency to feel guilty. You know, okay. Let's look at another thing too. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to look at this for a few minutes. Keep in mind the things that we've said already. We'll be back to it. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're looking at, let's see, the words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah. And then some names and stuff. Okay, verse 4. Okay, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you," or I appointed you, "a prophet to the nations." Okay, so this is God talking to Jeremiah. He said to Jeremiah, "Before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you." Is that something that God was saying only to Jeremiah? I mean, obviously, he's specifically talking to Jeremiah. And we've all heard this verse before, you know. And I don't want you to just overlook
what we're saying here, you know, about God knowing us before He even formed us in the womb. You know, we've all heard that before. So don't just glance over this because you've heard it before. I mean, think about it. God knew us. God knew you. He knew us all before He even formed us in the womb. It's amazing to think about. And does that apply to us? Or is He just talking to Jeremiah? What do you think?
I personally have heard this verse not from people who talk about predestiny. Maybe people have heard that verse. Saying, it says when He was in the womb, blah, blah, blah. So it's good to look on the front from this angle.
Yeah.
So that's just my comment.
I personally believe it does apply to us. I mean, God being the all-knowing God, He knows all of us. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows us. You know, for us, when we had Xander, we were leaving it a surprise. You know, we didn't know if we were having a boy. We didn't know if we were having a girl. It was a surprise. And it was really, you know, it was hard to make it 9 months and not find out or whatever. But it was amazing, you know, that just having that surprise. We didn't know if we were going to have an Alexander or a Joanna. And so, and it's just, when he was first born, I can remember, I was overwhelmed, of course. And it's probably like 10 seconds after he was born. Samantha's like, well, what is it? And I was like, oh, yeah. Because that was kind of my job. I was supposed to check out. It's a boy. Okay. So we didn't know, you know, I'm his father. I have a closer relationship as you can have with an 11-month-old. But I mean, I'm his father. I have a close relationship. She's his mother. She has the closest relationship on earth with him. But we're bound in our relationships on earth by just the physical nature. You know, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl until he came out. God knew. God knew. God knew us. God knew it the whole time. And not only that, but if you look, you know, and he said, I knew you before you were even in the womb. And before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He already had the task for Jeremiah. He said, you're going to be a prophet for the nation. I've known it the whole time. Now, does that apply only to Jeremiah? Or does God know what we're going to be doing too? Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 10 would be hard for us to find that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God knows the good works he wants us to do. That's why we're created. We're created in Christ Jesus to do these good works that God prepared beforehand. God told Jeremiah, this is what I formed you to do. God knew us before we were in the womb. He also knows. You know, he's already prepared beforehand the works that we are to do. You know, the very fact that God being holy, how much time do we have? Okay, good. The very fact that God being holy and eternal, all powerful, the merciful God, all knowing God, and that he's just, that he still loves us is astonishing. And kind of like what Ricky Perry pointed out last week, it's, you know, God, it's kind of ironic. God doesn't have to have our love. He wants us to love him, but he doesn't have to have our love. He doesn't have to have that relationship. He's God. He's going to be okay. He wants it, though. And he chooses us, and yet he still He chooses us, he wants us, and he considers us his inheritance. Like that first verse that we looked at in the very beginning of class, you know, we are his heirs. We're his adopted sons and daughters. We can have the opportunity to call him Abba, Father. And he considers us heirs in the inheritance. And the irony is, the ironic part is that while God, he doesn't need us, but he still wants us, the ironic part is sometimes, you know, well, we desperately need God. Sometimes we live as though we don't want him. Kind of reversed. Sometimes we wonder almost indifferently how much we can do just to get by. You know, how close we can be to God just to get by. Not because we love him so much, but just to get by. So we only have a couple more minutes, but last week at the end of class, I kind of sounded preachy. I don't want to sound preachy, but I mean, this kind of leads us to the question, though. You know, what is your response going to be? What's your response going to be? You have a choice. Rich made a comment last week. He said, you know, we all know we have a choice. God is not going to force you to have a relationship with him. He wants it, but he's not going to force you to do it. It's your choice. So what's your choice going to be? Are we going to have a close relationship with God? Are we going to have the ability? Are we going to be able to say, "Abba, Father"? Are you already there? You know, do you have that relationship with God, or do you not? And I think that's kind of the point of the class this morning. So we just need to decide who's all going to be here next week. Who plans to be here next week? Good. Next week's going to be. The first several chapters of the book have been more focused on God and the relationship that we can have with God. It's going to kind of switch gears next week. And so if you can be here, please come. Dave's going to teach. He's going to start in chapter 4. If you haven't gotten the book, wow, that's awesome. He would love that for like a couple hours at a time. He's showing Xander. It's a video of him showing him on the screen. We're going to kind of change gears, and Dave will be on chapter 4. And if you haven't gotten the book, I encourage you to read it and or get it and just go ahead and look at chapter 4 for next week if you get a chance. Because we've been focused on God and how awesome God is, but we're going to kind of change gears and start looking kind of at ourselves. And chapter 4 can be very convicting. It can be a good study. And it might take a couple weeks. I don't know how Dave will do it, but... and that's another reason to be here next week is because Dave will be leading the discussion, not me. So, no, I'm kidding. All right, thank you for your comments. Anybody have anything else? I guess we'll head upstairs.